Yeah, the way it's written in Section B is 20 or more, so it would be five or more, so that could include 20 lots, is the way I'm looking at it, so. Any more discussion on the amendment? Member Fine Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Briefly, to both points, I would support moving this down to five. I feel like that is, there is a threshold at a certain point. And just to clarify right there, there are kind of multiple types of development that would fall under this this exception. And one of those types, among others, is construction of large residential housing developments, creating 20 or more residential lots that would address the shortage of reasonably priced housing within the borough. Now, that's a pretty specific category. That's the category we're talking about here. And I think if we move that down to one residential lot, that would no longer constitute a large residential development. That would no longer really do much to address the shortage of housing in any way different than normal development of lots one by one does currently. You know, I think the idea here, if the assembly or if the community is going to consider selling lots at below assessed value, the idea is that that may attract developers who are interested in creating larger developments, you know, not just one by one lots here. We're talking about the possibility that through economies of scale, which are only possible if you're doing a larger development, you'd be able to get cheaper lots on the market. That's kind of the goal here, and that's why that particular category exists. I think, you know, I agree the number is it could be shifted, but I would agree, you know, I think five is fine. I mean, you're still creating kind of a multi-unit development that would address, you know, the shortage of housing, hopefully. I would hope that people would use this exception to create larger developments if possible, but there's, you know, there's no upper limit on that. So I see why I think the five is fine, but I don't think going below that really makes any sense. So I'll leave it at that.
Any other discussion on the amendment? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark.
Yes.
Donna.
No.
Thomas.
Yes.
Rob.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, the First Amendment to Ordinance 2024-02, changing the language in Section B from 20 to 5, passes with a 6-1 vote, with Member Marsh opposed. And Member Lynn.
Yes, thank you. My second amendment has to do with C1, and the wording for everybody is listening currently reads, if a disposal is initiated by application, the application shall include, at a minimum, a conceptual plan and development timeline. I would like to make two changes to that. And the reason I want to make the one change is that if a developer would come forward with a proposal and the assembly is really not interested, I think that's where it ought to stop, you know, and not go forward, you know, if whatever the proposal is. So what I'm gonna, and then my second one is I think there needs to be a financial plan here, but here's the way I wanna reword it. If a disposal is initiated by application, the application subject to assembly approval at a minimum shall include a conceptual plan, a financial plan, and development timeline. So what I'm adding is subject to assembly approval and financial plan.
So is there a second to this motion?
Second.
Motion been made by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Stanton Gregor to change Section C1. And Member Lynn just read off the change. So any discussion on that? Seeing none, clerk call the roll.
Scott.
Yes.
Tom.
Yes.
Donna. Mark.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Rob.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, the second amendment to change Section C1 of Ordinance 2024-02 passes unanimously, or passes with a 6-1 vote, I believe. Member Marsh voted no. Okay, Member Lynn.
Okay, number three here. Down under 2A, we talk about a fair market value appraisal of the property, including any borough-owned improvements determined by a certified real estate appraiser, assuming the property was sold without any development requirements that may be imposed pursuant to this section. I want to add a sentence to that, and the sentence would read, the applicant is required to pay for appraisal of the property.
Is there a second to that motion?
I second that.
Discussion on that amendment. So that's just adding one sentence of language that the applicant pays for the appraisal. Discussion? Seeing none, clerk call the roll.
Rob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Donna?
I believe that was a no vote. Thumbs up if it was a no. Okay, got it. Okay, so that amendment passes with a 6-1 vote with Member Marsh opposed. Is there more?
There is one more, and I lost my thought here. Oh, yeah, I found it here. I have under C2, I'm going to propose to delete the second and third sentences. And for everybody's benefit here, I'll just read the number two here. A proposed disposal, if initiated by the assembly, or if the assembly wishes to move an application forward, shall be sent to the Borough Planning Commission for review and recommendation, including a public hearing. The borough manager may also refer a proposed disposal to for review and comment to any applicable boards and commissions. And now it currently reads any disposal proposing an economic development project shall be reviewed by the Petersburg Economic Development Council following the receipt of Planning Commission recommendations as well as PEDC or other board commission comments. The borough manager shall prepare and submit to the assembly a written report and recommendation that at a minimum includes, and then it goes on. But my proposal is to eliminate the part, any disposal proposing an economic development project shall be reviewed by the Petersburg Economic Development Council following receipt of the Planning Commission recommendations as well as PEDC or other board or commission comments. And my amendment is to remove that because on the following part, the borough manager shall prepare and submit a report. But earlier, the manager can choose and decide how he wants to approach it. And I think that's the appropriate way to go. And if it's not appropriate to go to one of those others, I think that should be the manager's decision or choice.
So is there a second to removing that language?
I'll second that.
A motion been made by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Stanton Gregor, to remove basically a sentence and a half of the section C2. Member Stanton Gregor.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Member Lynn, if you could clarify, please repeat the exact words you wanted deleted from it, just so I can make sure I've got it tight.
Okay.
Thank you.
Start with any disposal proposing an economic development project shall be reviewed by the Petersburg Economic Development Council following receipt of planning commission recommendations as well as PEDC or other board or commission comments. That's the section I want to delete. It should be the manager's decision, in my opinion.
Thank you, Member Lynn, for clarifying that part, because then it picks up with the borough manager. Thank you for the clarification, sir.
Any other discussion? Member Marsh.
Yes. Thank you. If there had been a palatable point early on in this discussion, and I believe a couple of readings ago it was presented that this very paragraph that Member Lynn is proposing to eliminate, or at least a portion of it, was a form of checks and balances, that it had to clear a number of hurdles. I think by eliminating this, I can say from the outset, the whole thing is faulty. But if this was a selling point, this elimination removes that checks and balances.
Okay, any other discussion? Member Fine Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I support this amendment. I think it trims a little fat. And to Donna's point, it does still leave oversight by planning and zoning and public hearing. You know, let's see, hold on. I'm having trouble reading it right now. So any proposed disposal shall be sent to the Borough Planning Commission for review and recommendation, including public hearing there. And then there would be public hearings before the Assembly as well. So those parts, Member Lynn's not proposing, removing. Those would remain. I support this amendment largely because the language removed it doesn't really assert any obligation on anyone. It's more kind of the mayor may do this or may do that, and we know that the mayor may do that whether it's here in this ordinance or not. So I think removing it really doesn't change the nature of the ordinance, and the public oversight section is definitely still intact.
Any other discussion on the amendment for section C2 of ordinance 200402? Clerk, call the roll.
Jay.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Rob.
Yes.
Donna.
No.
Thomas.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that amendment for section C2 passes with a 6-1 vote with Member Marsh opposed. That brings us back to the main motion as amended. Any discussion on that? Member Fine Walsh.
Yes, I would like to propose one amendment myself, a very simple one, to section F. This is in response to some of the conversation we had at the last meeting. I would like to replace the may in the first sentence of section F with a shall as a condition of disposal, and to ensure provisions of the anticipated public benefit, the Assembly shall impose specific project requirements instead of may. Simple amendment, and that's what I propose. Thank you.
Is there a second to that
second
motion? Motion been made by Member Fine Walsh, seconded by Member Lynn, to change the letter or the word may to shall in section F. Clerk, call the roll or discussion.
So I'm still trying to process, you know, our end goal here is we're essentially selling land less than appraised value, or excuse me, assessed value, thank you, it's public property. And we're doing this in the attempt to create more affordable housing to the end user. But I'm totally open to input here, but I don't see anything that is going to dictate any wording that will ensure that's the case, that the value is, you know, of the public land, the value is given to the end user and not the developer. Does anybody see it any different?
With respect to the member, we were on the amendment.
Well, we're still on the amendment for item F. So
correct. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I was gonna see. Yeah. Okay. So
well, it's kind of related.
This is just to change the word in the second sentence of F from may to shall. May impose right. A specific, and we show it'll say shall impose specific.
Well, it is kind of related. But
we're input on the amendment for that language change is where we're at right now. Member Newman, do you have?
Well, I'll read it again here.
Member Schwartz?
Well, as the last meeting, people wanted assurances that if this happens, that there'll be roads built and sewer put in and water, and that's what you're looking at, right? How the land's going to be developed. Is that right, Scott? I mean,
I'm just trying to ensure that the value is given to the end user and it's not capitalized on by the developer. I mean, that's our goal. We need to ensure that. Yep.
Dan Gregor.
Yeah, just to the amendment, I'll vote yes. And then to the main motion, I look forward to hearing from Member Newman regarding the broader topic, so that works. Great, that pleases mind. The assembly. You're all good.
So this discussion is about the amendment for Section F to change the word from may to shall in the second sentence. Any other discussion on that? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark.
Yes.
Donna.
Yes.
Thomas.
Yes.
Rob.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, and I couldn't quite hear Member Marsh. Was that a no vote as well?
She voted
that was
yes.
A yes.
That was a yes.
Yes, okay. So that amendment passed unanimously. Now we're back to the main motion as amended five times. And discussion on the main motion as amended. Member yes. Marsh.
Thank you. I guess I Thanks. Would like to propose an amendment in addition to paragraph G that would say something to the effect of should the in the event that the developer will use fails to meet the obligations and does not meet criteria of affordable housing, passing on the savings to the end user, etc., there needs to be some consequences. Then the developer needs to come and pay for the difference between the assessed and the discount received from that. And I guess the second part would be, how on earth is this going to be enforced?
So you're proposing an amendment to add a section G, and you're fading in and out.
I'm sorry. If I can, I will text Deputy Clerk Regula, and she could read it. I will text her very quickly. And
okay, we will. We're anxiously awaiting your text.
Thank you.
Member Fine Walsh, in the meantime.
Thank you.
But we don't even know. This is she's made a motion to add a section, so we're going to wait until we get what she wants, and then we'll second it, and then we'll move forward.
Headed your way.
Got it. Okay, Donna's motion is propose that there needs to be assurances of affordability passed on to the end consumer, as well as there must be enforceability.
I'm not sure how that would translate into the form of a motion, but those are the ideas that I would like to incorporate if this were even remotely
So
I don't think I guess what I'm saying is I don't know that it's possible on either one of those points.
So what you're looking to do is add a section that would make it mandatory, in a sense, that the developer develops these lots and keeps them affordable. So I mean, how do you set a price range?
Yes, And yes, and should there not be that criteria met, then the developer would need to pay the difference between the assessed and the discount.
Okay, so I'm looking back in section F, where it says a time frame for completion of these improvements or the project as a whole, price limitations. I'm wondering if price limitations is kind of what you're trying to get at. And I just don't know how you set that value and how you enforce it. You know, so if you get a contractor that comes in, buys five lots, 10 lots, whatever, put a number on it and develops them, and you're gonna tell him what he can sell them for when he's putting in utilities, et cetera. So that gets pretty confusing to me. And I don't know if you can force somebody to do that. So anyway, so it's kind of hard. I think people, the assembly probably has an idea what you're trying to propose as a section G, but without the hard, the written language, it's like kind of hard to not only second it, but to discuss it, in my opinion. So, so if that was a motion, is there a second? Seeing none, that motion fails. And this is the third reading, so it's unfortunate that Member Marsh, you couldn't have got your idea in maybe earlier. And if you were in the room, you could probably jot something down. So,
Okay,
so we move forward. The main motion as amended. Clerk, call the roll. I guess
hey, Member Newman.
No, we're not to that point. Oh, Member Newman.
I got one other comment. So this is an ordinance to allow for the sale for less than a assessed value. Is there a bottom limit to this?
I would think it was negotiated by the manager if we give them permission to go forward. If there's an applicant, the manager negotiation, then it has to come back to the assembly if I'm correct.
And through the mayor, and this is different than the other ordinance that the assembly passed before for tribal groups and government officials. That's a totally separate process, correct? That's how I'm reading that. Okay, so this is separate. This would be for the private sector outside of other governments.
I believe this ordinance was put forward because of the Skylark, proposed Skylark development.
Just wanted to make sure.
Member Swartz.
Well, I think other boroughs and cities have been through this before, and Mr. Feinwald should worked down one road, and it talked about profit caps, and there's percentages, and you know, after about 5 or 6 minutes, it was like some kind of trigonometry problem. You know, legally, I think there's a way to do it. It's pretty complex. This ordinance here tried to simplify all that, and I think he went through quite a bit of time with Ms. Cabrera on that. As complex as it was, I grasped most of it. But anyway, so that's all I really had on that. I mean, I think there is a very, you know, definite, written in stone type of approach to this. But that's not what we're facing right now.
Okay. This is discussion on the main motion as amended. Member Stan Greger.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I spoke to some of these things in the first two readings, so I'll be brief. First of all, we get it on the table. I'm going to be voting yes on this, but I do think it's a deeply flawed ordinance. So why would I be voting yes on a deeply flawed ordinance? Because it can't do any harm. Right now, we've been kind of flowing free form, and we've encountered problems of subjectivity, which we encountered on borough Tidelands leases sales. This ordinance is no different. I think there is... The vagueness around public benefit is highly subjective. That means the people in planning and zoning really decide what that means. And that does bring in the human factor, same thing on the assembly. But that can't be changed. And that is no different than it was before. I like some of the amendments that were made today. Not to be simple-minded also, if we pass this ordinance and realize we have had glaring errors in it, we can always do something else. It seems like if nothing else, the first step towards getting the borough involved in these discussions and being a part of the policy for, at times, again, I don't see this being a very regular thing that's coming before planning and zoning or the assembly, or maybe it will, but it's a foot in the door for trying to make it easier for more more housing and more affordable housing. So to put it simply, I think we'll give it a shot, and if it doesn't work, we can do something else. Thanks.
Member Newman, did you want to add anything?
I'm good. I mean, I agree with all those comments. It is a good first step, and you got to believe in the process that, you know, this gives us the opportunity to revisit it if somebody approaches us and it goes before the manager and then comes back to the assembly. So the future assembly will be making the final decision. So I'm okay with it.
Member Lynn?
Yeah, I was about the same place that several other members are, that I was going to vote against it because I didn't see a real need for it. But the more I delved into it, I don't think it's going to be used very often. And if a potential developer would come forward, at least it lays out a process that they have to go through. And it gives, as the changes that were made and what's been done, it gives the assembly and the manager total authority to make changes, whatever you want to do. And so I've changed my mind. I made a flip side saying, you know, there's a process here. You have people, you know, that can, they'll make some decisions. Let's let it stand and see if anybody wants to take us up on it. And if it get more housing in town, I think that's great.
Okay, you need more discussion on ordinance 2024-02 as amended. Clerk, call the roll.
Mark.
Yes.
Donna.
No.
Thomas.
Yes.
Rob.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, ordinance 2024-02 passes with a 6-1 vote with Member Marsh voting no. And that brings us to item C under old business, and that's ordinance 2024-03. This is an ordinance adjusting the fiscal year 2024 budget for known changes in its second reading. I'd entertain a motion to approve this ordinance in its second reading.
I'll move.
Second.
Motion made by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Fine Walsh. And before we get into the discussion, there was an addition to this. Elderly Housing Director Lopez is requesting to add the Elderly Housing Entrance Repair Project to the supplemental budget in the amount of $50,000. This money will come from the Mountain View Manor Elderly Housing Reserves to put the project out to bid. The design proposal prepared by Horizon Associates to correct structural issues on the main entrance ramp and cover caused by rot and deterioration of the wood is attached. So there's a suggested motion, and I'd read it, but I can't make a motion. Member Lynn.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I move to add $50,000 of Elderly Housing Reserves to the supplemental budget for the Elderly Housing Entrance Repair Project so the project may go out to bid.
Second.
Second.
Okay, a motion has been made by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Newman to amend ordinance 2024-03 to add $50,000 for the Elderly Housing Entrance. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Donna.
Yes.
Rob.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Thomas.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, the amendment passes unanimously. And I believe Member Giesbrecht, can you repeat what we talked about today when you said this was found during an inspection? So this was a request to have fixed?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we got written up on it. They noticed some dry rot and some areas that were starting to not fall down, but were not connected as well as it should have been. So
I just thought that information should be said publicly so the people listening are in the room know that we're not just throwing $50,000 at a porch to put a new paint job on it. So now we're back to the main motion as amended. So this supplemental budget is in its third and final reading. This is the one we had public testimony on earlier about the $60,000 for attorney fees. And there's many other parts to this supplemental budget. So discussion. Member Fenton Greger.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, just a point of clarification, and for those listening at home, this is the second reading of this.
Oh, correct.
It's all good. Just for those listening at home, don't get people get confused. Secondly, I will be voting for this. I want to acknowledge the department heads for their care and diligence in putting together this list of needed things. That's one of the challenges of a budget. Sometimes you need a supplementary for things that pop up. Yeah, I won't go through it item by item, but I'll be voting yes today. Thanks.
Yeah, on the first reading, I've read all of the entries, but it's in the agenda if anybody's interested. And like Member Stanton Gregor pointed out, this is only the second reading. And so this public has one more time to comment. So if there's no more amendments, will the clerk please call a roll?
Donna has a point.
I have a
question. Oh, yeah, just throw something at me.
Appreciate that. I would like to propose that we take the line item regarding the $60,000 and vote on it separately. I don't know what the will of the assembly is for that. I would propose that we would make that its own.
So we're having a hard time hearing you, Member Marsh. I think your proposal is to go through the supplemental budget line by line and vote on them?
No.
See, that's what we can't.
I'll text.
Vote on the $60,000
separately.
Yes. Separately, number nine.
So you would like to remove section nine, the $60,000 budget for attorney fees?
Yes, thank you.
So that's a motion?
Yes.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Marsh, seconded by Member Swartz to remove item nine, I believe it is. Let me read it. Transfer $60,000 to the borough's attorney fees budget to cover extra expenses incurred by the Kerr and Koenigs lawsuits. So that's what the motion and the second is, discussion on that proposal. Okay. Member Marsh.
Yes, if I may. It would make sense that we pursue with caution with the information and where we are. I hate to just give the go ahead. There are big issues.
Yeah, we can't hear you, Member Marsh. So that's unfortunate, but
so I think her text might clarify a little bit. She says she'd like to vote on the $60,000 separately from the rest of the budget, not just remove it, but to have a vote on that individually.
So in a sense, that's what she's doing.
Yes.
Isn't it? I mean,
correct.
You know, so I mean, make an amendment to remove it. There was a second. We had discussion. So if we're voting on it, does that make sense?
Yes, just to have it on its own.
Okay, so you'll thumbs up if you're okay with moving forward. Okay. So the clerk call a roll.
Actually, I'd like to speak to this.
Well, what's that?
If we're going to do discussion on this amendment, I'd like to know if the member is comfortable or the second of why that makes sense to remove $60,000 out of the supplemental budget. I think one, I'd like to hear that logic or reason so I can make an educated decision, and I think it'd be good for the public as well if they feel comfortable doing so.
Yes, thank you. If I may, through the mayor, these are public funds, public resources, as all the money that we budget with all the different line items. I just think we need to be extra cautious when it comes to legal fees.
Does the second have a comment?
We're up here, and I've heard a lot of comments from the community that it's nice to have a balanced assembly, and each one of us brings our own perspective. I would like it separated because I'm in favor of all of them except one. That's what. And so I'd like to separate them. You know, it's not my money. It's
just to be clear, we're not talking about separating. We're talking about a motion. An amendment's been made to remove it from the.
She wanted voted on separately.
Right. So there's a motion. There's a second. And we're having discussion. And this is to vote to remove line item 9 from the supplemental budget. We are voting on it separately right now.
That's the motion to take it out of there.
This motion,
we're all saying the same thing.
This motion and amendment that was just made is to remove line 9, so it'll be gone when we vote for this ordinance as amended. That won't be in there.
The amendment passes, correct?
Correct, yeah, so that's where we're at. Member Marsh.
Thank you. There appears to be a misunderstanding. I would like to withdraw my motion. Thank you.
Does a second agree with withdrawing?
Yes.
Second. Okay, so that's no longer an item. So any other discussion on the supplemental budget in its entirety? Clerk, call the roll.
Donna.
Yes.
Rob.
No.
Scott.
Yes.
Thomas.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, ordinance 2024-03, corrected, only in its second reading, passes with a 6-1 vote with Member Schwartz opposed. That brings us to ordinance 2024-04. This is an ordinance amending section 10.20.010, discharge of firearms prohibited, of the Petersburg Municipal Code to remove prohibition of discharge of firearms in the area of Frederick Point East Subdivision. This is also the second reading. So there will be one more reading and one more time for public comment. I entertain a motion to approve this ordinance.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Newman, seconded by Member Schwartz. Member Stanton Greger.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was a little confused by this one out of the gates, and I had a conversation with Chief Kerr today. I was wondering, Chief Kerr, if I could defer to you to kind of tell me some of the history on this, kind of like we spoke of today, so for people listening at home, because I thought it was pretty valuable information, if you would, please.
Yes, from my understanding, this was in place from when they expected that whole area to grow. That hasn't happened. That's what created that no discharge of firearms. And basically now we're at the point of, when I calculate the land, it's roughly around 170 to just under 200 acres, but it's surrounded by roughly 1,100 acres of usable land that could be used by other members of the community. And so that's why basically this has gone forward, and it's not against state law to discharge a firearm out there. It's against borough code. So if you were to discharge a firearm out there, you're not going to get cited by the troopers. You'd get cited by Petersburg Borough because it's a borough code and troopers don't cite under borough code, but you would still lose your animals because if we cite you, it's taken in violation, so you have to turn it over or they can confiscate it. So it doesn't make sense, really. I mean, you have a small area down there, and my perspective on that is basically you can discharge your firearm out there by Papke's as long as you're outside that quarter mile of the road. So the people who live just outside that quarter mile can discharge their firearm out there without any problem. And then people who live down the Narrows, those houses are closer than these ones, and they can discharge their firearm down outside of the Kuprinoff limits. So who are we to limit the use of Alaska state lands? There's some Tongass National Forest. So basically that's why it's out there. We want everyone to enjoy the resources. And nowadays everyone has OnX or some of these other platforms. And most of the people that I know, or actually all the people I know that hunt, they hunt responsibly. So we're using OnX, we're using all these things to find out where we're at so we don't get lost. There's a lot of it's because we don't get lost through some of this thick stuff. But it's, you have that availability, you have your iPhone, so if you have it up and you have maps open, you know where you're going. And most people don't discharge around a house. And if it is a violation, then the state troopers can handle that they can handle it like they would anything else out there by Papke's or down the Narrows. They can handle it like they would anywhere else. So this is just putting it along the lines of state.
Through the mayor, just chief, isn't it true? State statutes say you can't discharge a firearm towards a house.
Yeah, there's regulations prohibiting that stuff. Yeah.
Thank you for that clarifier, chief. I appreciate it.
Okay. Any other discussion, Member Fine Walsh?
So yeah, just to make extra super clear here. So this wouldn't eliminate kind of a safety corridor that exists between occupied houses and maybe hunting grounds that currently is there. I mean, is that a possibility?
So just 100% clear, it'd be just like you would if someone was hunting down the Narrows by all the houses that are down the Narrows down that way towards Duncan, it'd be like someone up there hunting up there. I mean, it's just going to fall along state.
Kind of bring it in line with other similarly developed areas on the island.
Yes.
Ports. Land, you know, I don't own a lot of. I own some land in Farragut Bay. We have land in Koenig Slough, up Petersburg Creek, Farragut, and we don't live there. And as much as I respect Mr. Lindsay's perspective, there's going to be firearms discharged within the vicinity of our cabins because of where we are. It's bird hunting, moose hunting. There's deer hunting. Then that's the way it goes. Of course, I know most of the hunters, and growing up here, you spend an awful lot of time considering not peeing on somebody else's shoes, to put it mildly, but you try to be respectful, and I think that's what the chief is trying to say. And I can see your point, Mr. Lindsay, but I also understand it's Alaska.
Okay, is there any other discussion on this ordinance 2024-02? Clerk, call the roll.
Thomas.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Rob.
Yes.
Donna.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, ordinance 2024-04 passes unanimously in its second reading. There'll be one more reading the next meeting. Item E under old business, assignment of Ocean Beauty Incorporated lease to Fierce Allegiance Development LLC. This was postponed from the February 5th meeting, so this is we're taking it up again. So I'd entertain a motion to approve this lease transfer. Member Stan Gregor.
Yep. I move to approve assignment of the Ocean Beauty lease contingent on the closing of the sale, which has already happened, the Bunkhouse property located at 18 Harbor Way, the Ocean Beauty property, to Fierce Allegiance Development LLC.
Second.
Okay, I see the suggested motion now, and Mr. Mazzella testified earlier they did purchase the land, so motion been made by Member Stanton Gregor, seconded by Member Schwartz. Discussion. I have one comment to make, and thank you for your interest in development in Petersburg, Mr. Mazzella. So will the clerk call the roll?
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, the lease transfer is approved. New business, item 15. First item there is ordinance 2024-05, an ordinance determining that property conveyed to the borough in a tax foreclosure proceeding shall not be retained for a public purpose and shall be hereafter to be sold. I'd entertain a motion to approve this ordinance.
So moved. Second.
So this will take three readings. This is a piece of land, I believe, down Wrangell Narrows. So. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that's approved in this first reading. Item B under new business, resolution 2024-04. This is a resolution supporting Senate concurrent resolution number 10 SCR 10, introduced during the second session of the 33rd Alaska Legislature, establishing a joint legislative seafood industry task force with the inclusion of an elected official from a coastal fisheries interdependent community. So if this is adopted, there will be appointments made by the House, by the Speaker of the House, and by the President of the Senate, I believe, and they're moving forward with it. We'll see where it goes. So I entertain a motion to approve this resolution.
I move.
Second.
A motion been made by Member Newman, seconded by Member Schwartz and Member Lynn. Discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Scott.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Rob.
Yes.
Thomas.
Yes.
Donna.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that resolution passes unanimously. That brings us to item C, Scow Bay Generator Number 2 Designed Build Bid Package Professional Services Award. Utility Director Hagerman requests approval to award a professional services contract to Marine Services Incorporated to develop the Scow Bay Generator Number 2 Design Build Package for an amount not to exceed $164,330. Entertain a motion to approve that contract.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Stanton Gregor, seconded by Member Newman. So this is for the additional generator design, Mr. Hickerman?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, that's correct. We've been working on adding diesel generation to help us with our standby capacity. I would like to offer one correction, though. I didn't notice this in the packet, but the motion was made to award this to MSI. They're actually the provider of the generator electric power systems as the consultant then we're looking at awarding this contract to, EPS.
So we have the wrong name listed?
On the motion, yes.
On the motion.
It's in. It's correct in the memorandum that I sent, but unfortunately I just noticed that when you said that out loud, that the motion should be made to award to EPS.
Pardon me?
It should be, the award is to be made to Electric Power Systems, EPS.
Electric Power Systems. So we need to change that. It's not Marine Services Incorporated.
I would withdraw my motion if the second wanted to.
Yeah.
And to start fresh?
Yep. So that motion and second has been withdrawn. And one more time, with all those amendments in that one ordinance, we made my brain fuzzy. Scow Bay Generator Number 2 Design Build Bid Package Professional Services Award. And Utility Director Hagerman requests approval to the award of professional services contract to, Mr. Hagerman, state the name.
Electric Power Systems.
Okay, Electric Power Systems. To develop the Scow Bay Generator Number 2 Design Build Bid Package for amount not to exceed $164,330.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion been made by Member Stanton Gregor, seconded by Member Newman. Discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Donna.
Yes.
Thomas.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Rob.
Yep.
Scott.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that passes unanimously. Item 16, communications. There's a list of correspondence received since the February 20th, 2024 meeting. It's in the agenda packet, on the agenda packet, and we don't read them. So if a person's interested in seeing the correspondence, it's available to you. And item 17, assembly discussion items. Assembly member comments. Are there any assembly members with comments? None? Recognitions. Any recognitions by assembly members? Seeing none, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? I got to throw that in there. None are opposed.